Do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline. Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, and today's guest host.
Hello, Ray Zinn. This is Paul Moore here. It's another great day in good old sunny California. How are you today?
Doing just great, Paul. Good to have you with me today.
Well, for those who don't know Ray Zinn and Paul Moore, you are the Silicon Valley's longest-running CEO, and I'm a guy that worked for you for 16 years. I was the research and development director over at your sunny, beautiful little fab, and we did all kinds of great stuff together. In particular, we had a lot of great conversations. So today, what do you say we continue that conversation?
Sounds good to me. Let's go.
Okay. As you know, I admire entrepreneurs, and I want to gravitate toward being an entrepreneur myself. So let's say that, let's pick a topic that everybody can identify with, both the little guy that's shopping for a business like me, or a VP of a corporation, an established corporation. One of the strategies of getting more business, going from zero in my case, or going from many businesses like my father did at First American Financial, is going out and acquiring a business. But there are some hidden pitfalls, and I suspect you've gone through that. What is the tough thing I should do first if I'm going to acquire a business?
Well, I think the most important thing is to make sure that you're not panicked. In other words, that you're so set on obtaining the business that you will fail to look thoroughly and deeply into it. And that would be, I think, the first thing is to make sure it's really something you want to do, but not to the point where you have to do it. I think the big mistake that many people do when they're acquiring a company is they saying, well, I've just got to have this technology, or I've just got to have this product line. And they end up then making a lot of mistakes because they're so focused on getting the business that they will not look deeply enough into the opportunity. And that's called due diligence. So the best thing to do, I think, if you're going to be considering acquiring a company, is to make sure you've made a list of all the things that you need to understand or find out. And to do this, you really need to get some legal help or somebody who's a business attorney, and have them list for you the things that you need to get from the potential companies you want to acquire.
Or in my case, I have a CPA who does that. He'll vet a company for me. He's the guy that does my taxes.
Sometimes a good accountant can also help you as opposed to a business attorney. So either one. I mean, either one are fine. You're going to have to ultimately get a business attorney anyway to help you in drafting the documents you're going to need to make the acquisition.
Okay, so get help is a good way to start, and get the experts that will close the gap or any gaps you have in being an expert. Fair to say?
You really need to ultimately get a business attorney. Because you're gonna the legal documents that you're going to need to properly make the acquisition are gonna have to be done by an attorney anyway. So at some point you're going to have to get a good business attorney.
I like it. That's something I can act on. Let's say that we get through the vetting process. We've done our due diligence. Now it's time to negotiate a fair price. Do you have some strategies you could share with me?
Sure. There's some clues that you can use. Multiple of sales can help you. For example, if the company is growing slowly or methodically, then you would use like a 3x multiple of sales to get to the value of the company, providing there's a sufficient history to make you comfortable with the revenue level of that acquisition. If it's a very fast growing, in other words, if they're like doubling sales every year, probably a year or 2 years out anyway, to really get the true revenue value of that company. You can also look at profitability. If the company is profitable, then that's another thing that you want to take a look at is what level of profitability are they running. If they're not profitable, if they're a nonprofit organization, then of course it's a different calculation. In most cases, if it's a nonprofit, you're probably looking at, you know, 1.5 times sales, a type of a value. But if they are, or if they're going to be profitable, if they're currently not profitable, but they're planning on becoming profitable, showing they're going to get profitable within a year or two, then of course you can use multiples of 3, 5, or 10 times revenue. So profitability is another very key thing, because that's how you sustain your company, is through the profits. So if the company is not profitable, you really need to even dig deeper in doing your vetting to make sure that at some point that the company will be profitable, unless, of course, it's a nonprofit organization. And of course, that's a different calculation anyway. As I said, 1 to 1.5 times revenue is generally considered for a nonprofit type business. So anyway.
Okay. So you have sales, revenue, and profitability. Now you mentioned
sales and revenue are the same.
Right. So nested in your answer, there was a real brief point that you made on the history. So a demonstration of sales. So how far back do you want to go? A couple of tax returns, a couple quarters?
I'd look at least 3 years. Depends upon how long they've been in business. If they've only been in business a year, then of course you're not going to get 3 years of records. But if they've been in business, you know, at least 3 years, you want at least 3 years of records. And you want to look at their tax records too. Now, the reason for that is that sometimes what they show that they want to pay taxes on may be a little different than what their business case or their, you know, they're keeping two sets of books, as you would. One set of books is to make the company look good. The other set of books is really what they pay their taxes on. Most people don't amplify or exaggerate their revenue and profitability if they're paying taxes. If anything, they may be cutting back or maybe showing a skinnier valuation. So tax records are a good thing, because once you dig in to the tax record, you can tell if they're keeping two sets of books, because you look at their tax records and you look at their other books. And I'd be very skeptical if they are keeping two sets of books.
Well, yeah, if they're willing to lie to the government, they're probably willing to lie to you. So what is it that's hidden there? To me, that's a red flag. That's not somebody that I'd buy a business from.
Absolutely, and that's key. So if they are keeping two sets of books, I would not suggest you really consider them. And then you can do that by looking at their business case that they're showing you, and then delving into their tax returns. If they're not doing tax returns, that's another red flag, and I'd stay away from them anyway. So
In any case, I would
always look at their tax returns in addition to what they're showing for a business plan, and make sure they're the same. If they're not the same, they're keeping two sets of books.
So that's a red flag. I'm sure that during your time at Micrel, junior executives brought together, you know, brought deals to you. Hey, Ray, look at this. Hey, Ray, look at that. What are some other red flags that you've noticed beginners tend to miss?
Look at the turnover of the people. There's how what the retention rate is of the employees. If it's a loyal group, then you'll see pretty low turnover, less than 15% a year. So that's another thing I'd look at, is look at the employee turnover, because that indicates there's some cultural issue with the company if there's high turnover. Also look at their IP and see how current it is. If their patents are about to run out, then their valuation is going to go down. If their patents are still current and there's still time left in them, then that's good. Another thing you want to consider is if the product has no patents at all. If it's a product that should be patented and there are no patents, then you're going to have to look at that expense if you intend then to figure out how you're going to secure the IP for that product line. So they're just all kinds of things that you need to look at. What's important to you? In other words, as you delve into that business potential, owning that company, you know, what's important to you? What do you, is it the location of the company? Is it the type of market that you're interested in? And are you going to run it yourself, or are you going to have somebody else run it? There's a lot of things you have to consider as you consider an acquisition.
Yeah, so you may be willing to pay for the building and the assets, and the person that's selling it may think, wow, my intellectual property is so valuable. That's what I'm selling. If you two don't match, you're not going to match on a price. You know, going back to what you said at the beginning of the podcast, you really have to not panic. So I think what you were saying there is don't put your emotions between you and the decision you need to make. And I'd like to draw an analogy. My wife and I are animal lovers. We like Dobermans, and we're going to go pick up a Doberman puppy this weekend. But I haven't made that decision. I've made the decision to go see the puppy and see the mother and see how the puppy behaves. After I see that that dog meets criteria that I have for a good companion animal, then I will buy the animal. But right now, emotionally, I haven't bought that animal. I'm committed to going to see it. And I think that's what, you know, dating is another analogy before you get married. You really have to keep your mind in the space of I'm looking and I'm interested in buying a business. Is this the right business for me?
Well, that's an interesting comment for our example you're using, because it talks about the relationship you have with your partner. You know, your partner may be someone else other than your wife, and you want to make sure that both you and your partner are agreeing on the product line and the acquisition. So that's very important.
Or your board of directors, right? You might have to answer to them at the end of the day if you make an acquisition.
Exactly.
Good deal. Wow, Ray, this has been a really helpful podcast for me. I think that it's accessible to just about everybody, any level of maturity in the business. I really appreciate the time you spent with me this morning, and I'll use your advice. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you getting online with me today.
You bet.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.